Chop, the original Guillotine League podcast. Everything you need to know to avoid the chopping block. Chop is brought to you by GuillotineLeagues.com. Now, your hosts, Paul Charchian and Brian Johnson.
Welcome to Chop, the Guillotine League podcast. I'm Paul Charchian. It is a trade deadline week. Joining me as usual, my co-host Brian Johnson on the phone one more week. This is the last week on the phone, though, right? This is it. You're back in studio the rest of the weeks.
Correct, Charge. One more week, we'll be reunited. It will feel so good.
It will feel so
good. One more week on the road here in Charlotte, where they're just rejoicing over the first victory for Bryce Young.
Yeah, I thought Bryce Young looked pretty good. And actually, his name will come up, I believe, one more time over the course of this show. I thought he—and I'm not just saying this because they won. There's an observation I made mid-game as well. I'm like, I think he's—really looks like he's playing better than I had seen him play before. So hopefully he's starting to turn the corner there at least a little bit.
My main takeaway from that Panthers game, though, you know, there's C.J. Stroud involved, but it's Adam Thielen with, like, a 16-point clunker. That's, like, a bad game.
Yeah, right.
Just think about that. That's like his floor. Just an incredible year for him in a down game. Just 8 catches, 90 yards, something like that, right?
Yeah.
It just continues for Adam Thielen.
Yep, he's been he's quietly been terrific, and exactly what you need in a guillotine league. We want guys that just perform well every week, and that's it. That's not asking too much, is it? Perform well every single week.
Oh. Nope. That's it.
That's it. All right. Plenty to get to on this show. And I want to talk about this rare opportunity to bid on Chiefs, like all the ones you want. So let's get to that in just a second. But a reminder, new Guillotine League still forming Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, not Sunday this week because we've got that early game and we don't run drafts while games are happening. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we encourage you to still get in. 10 team leagues being formed now, right, Brian? Are we in 10? I think we're on 10.
Yep, 10 teams, nice round number, 9-week season. And we'll be forming them next week at the very least, but I think one more week beyond that. But all that matters is right now, week 9, 10 team leagues. Go to the lobby, check them out.
Yeah, not bad. Lots of opportunities to keep playing, which is a ton of fun. And you get to draft, which, you know, who doesn't love a draft? We all love the draft.
And speaking of the Germany game, that's a nice kind of segue to the Chiefs talk
you were
just alluding to.
Right.
Chiefs hosting, quote unquote, hosting the Dolphins in Germany this weekend on Sunday morning.
We don't normally tip our hand about the top 10 CHOP players, but let's talk about this because 3 of the top 10 are Chiefs. I'm just saying it right now. Usually you have a little drama here. Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Isaiah Pacheco, all in the top 10. And the reason I want to call these out separately is because this is a really thorny spot, Brian, because their schedule, which is in totality for the rest of the season, is pretty favorable. But you've got this weird game in Germany followed by a bye week. And I think that makes the decision on these guys a lot more complicated.
Yeah, totally. On paper, you see Miami, you're like, oh, shootout. But, you know, it's in Germany. Both teams are going to be a little, you know, jet lagged, whatever. You don't know what you can expect on German soil when it comes to American football. And then, like you said, the bye. So, yeah, I don't know how comfortable. Usually, if it was a normal home game for Travis Kelce, who I think might come up later in the show, I'm still taking him in the first round. But now with this game in Germany, then the bye in week 10 next week, I don't know. I might pump the brakes a little bit on all Chiefs. And there's really only 3 or 4 we're concerned about, right? And we're going to talk about basically all 3.
We are.
In the top 10 most CHOP players.
Yep.
But yeah,
we'll give you
proceed
this
with caution, basically, is what I think we're both getting at right now with Kansas City.
We'll give you specific dollar recommendations on Kelce, Mahomes, Pacheco later in the show when we do get into the top 10. But Brian, as we often say on this show, our vision is really limited to like 3 and 4 weeks out because your roster changes so much in the next 3 or 4 weeks. So you've got this oddball game this week. You'd probably start all your Chiefs, even though the offense hasn't looked quite right. They obviously just had a stunning upset loss to the Broncos, in which they barely scored any points. Now you've got European travel. It's the reason to be the reason to bid on these guys at this stage of the season, especially, is hopefully your team doesn't need them to survive. By now, you've made it to the halfway point of the season. You'd start these guys next week. You'd rest them the next week. Can you survive 2 weeks? Even if this Germany game is a weird week and scoring's a little down, could you survive it okay and get really up and rolling on your Chiefs from what I guess would be week 11 forward?
No, you have to plan for next week right now. And this really just talks to the Mahomes and Kelsey managers, right? There's no one you're starting over Travis Kelsey this week at tight end. The game's in Germany. If it's on Mars and he doesn't have a space suit, it doesn't matter. You're still gonna start Travis Kelsey. There's only a few guys off the top of my head you consider over Mahomes. But right now, you better be looking at week 10 and who are you starting at quarterback and or tight end if you're relying on Mahomes and or Travis Kelsey. It's that simple.
Yeah. Yeah,
and if you're bidding on them, you suppress what you're bidding on them a good 20%, 30%-ish. You just can't bid full, take them at full value right now with the buy next week and the sort of kooky Germany game on tap this week.
Very possible. We'll get to the specific recommendations on those guys in a little bit. Note that we use Base 1000 at guillotineleagues.com, so all the recommendations you're going to get, dollar recommendations, are based on you starting the season with $1,000, which you don't have anymore, and especially, and a special call-out to those of you that are in guillotinis and those handful of people that won, took down their guillotini, and you're listening to the show because of your other leagues that are still going, congratulations on those. If you're in a super chop, you're down to the bitter end of the first phase, the non-playoff phase of the super chops, feel free to ratchet up your bidding a lot, obviously, because there's not much time left. And if you're in a smaller guillotine league where if you started the season with 12 or 14, you'll want to ratchet up the bidding for those above our recommendations as well, because you're not playing out the full year like we thought. As a full 18 teamer would. So just that note, and we'll divide some of our recommendations up four ways like we usually end up doing. These low-end players, Brian, are the guys who got cut or the emerging free agents who look appealing for depth, maybe a desperation start. We got four teams on bye this week. I'm going to run through the names here, and then I'm going to hit you with all of these names at the end. Will Levis, Leo Fournette, Jahan Dotson, Demario Douglas, Khalil Shakir, Quentin Johnson, KJ Osborne, Alexander Mattison, Royce, drop the piano, Freeman, and I've got a couple others for you. We'll hit on those. These are $10 guys or less, single-digit guys that you shouldn't have to spend much more than that for. There's a promising tier of players that we like to talk about. These are guys that are in the $10 to $20 range. Sam Howell, Zach Charbonnet, Amari DiMercato, Rashid Shaheed, Logan Thomas, Aaron Jones has fallen. I think Aaron Jones may have fallen to this tier. Jared Goff, Brian Robinson, CJ Stroud, Kyle Pitts. Sorry, Brian.
That's all right. Yeah. I still can't get over Aaron Jones, but yeah, he is definitely in that tier, sadly.
I hate to say it. I mean, it's like $20 for Aaron Jones is about, it's hard to pay anything more, much more than that. Middle tier guys.
There was like a screaming value mm-hmm. preseason, and then has plummeted to where you overpaid for him at that screaming value. Yeah, but anyway.
We'll talk to him. Agree. I mean, I I drafted a couple of times, not a lot, but yeah. Yep. Really kind of odd. Middle tier guys that are possible every week starters. Trey McBride, Dalton Kincaid, who we urged you to pick up last week. I think these guys now cost you more than the 20. These are in like the 20 to 40 range. DJ Moore, David Montgomery, Devon Achan, Drake London, Jerome Ford. And I picked these guys as a mix of just players who may be available, but also some of the players who got chopped frequently last week, but aren't in the top 10. DJ Moore, Montgomery, Achan, Drake London, Jerome Ford, common choppies. Those are the kind of prices you should look for them. And then, of course, the high-end guys, the superstar players. You're typically in the 100 to 220, 250 range for the high-end guys. And we've been saying that as your price range all along. ever since the beginning of this podcast. But the difference is now you get the elite players for that much. Last week, I brought down Austin Eckler on a $210 bid, which surprised me. And so now these elite players have now dropped into the range where you're at a price that you want to pay, Brian.
Yeah, definitely. I think for the most part, most people have burned their powder in the sense of overspending. I think we've peaked at like the range where most leagues, you know, the elite players are going for $400 or $500, which was always too much, regardless of what week it was, whether it was week one, week two, three, four, five, six, seven. But yeah, now I think we're nestling into where the fab leaders in leagues that started in week one are in the $600-$700 range. So I think the high end bids are really gonna nestle around the $250-$300 range, where you really should be capping out on a stud player.
All right, let's get into the top 10 most chopped players, Brian. Odds are one, two, or three of these guys hit your league's waiver wire, and the common thread here is dud players, players whose teams had, whole teams had dud games. And so what you're going to hear is three Chiefs, two Rams, and two Raiders comprising the bulk of our top 10. Let's begin at number 10. And also, this is a combo platter, number 10 and number 4, Rams wide receivers, Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. Now, the schedule is makes this kind of tricky. They're at Green Bay. That leans favorable. Then they go bye week after that, then Seattle. The average winning bid last week, 223 for Nacua, 223, and 290 for Kupp. So, given the schedule at Green Bay, then bye week, then Seattle, and the fact that Matthew Stafford may not be able to play through his throwing thumb injury, this could be Brett Rypien leading into a bye week to get Matthew Stafford right. That really means you may have a lot of hesitation. You may not even start Cooper Kupp or Puka Nacua in either of the next 2 weeks. What do you bid on those guys, Brian? This is a fascinating one.
Yeah, nothing near their averages from last week. Yeah, a lot to talk about here. Starting with Stafford and the thumb injury, non-throwing hand, I believe, right? But it's still
no, it is throwing hand. This is throwing hand. Right. Yeah, it's his right thumb.
So I don't know. Best case scenario, he plays, of course. Let's go under that presumption. I was shocked to see that he has averaged nearly 100 more passing yards per game without Cooper Kupp in the lineup, as opposed to both Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua.
How about that?
In the lineup. So it's kind of, and since Kupp has come back, it's either been a Kupp or a Nacua game, where the other has been somewhat serviceable. So they've both been startable, but one has truly gone off. Last week was the first week we saw neither really do anything, and that's why they're both on this list. And then coupled with a thumb injury for Stafford, and as you said, a bye in week 10 following this week at Green Bay. So you got to be somewhat conservative on both. And I think the delta is about right, where Nacua's going $60-$70 less than Kupp. So I got 140 on Kupp and 85 on Nacua.
Interesting. Okay. You're a lot stronger than I am on both. I'm nervous about the schedule, obviously, these next 2 weeks, and then just how this passing offense has had moments where you can't trust both. It seems like it's a Nacua or a Kupp. We haven't had a game yet where they both really go off. So, yeah, I'm more nervous than you are. I've got 50 on Nacua and 75 on Kupp, so I'm quite a bit under both of your bids. I probably wouldn't get either one, but I'm not interested in stashing those guys for 2 weeks unless it's really at a value. The ninth most chopped player and the second most chopped player are another set of wide receiver teammates, Jacoby Myers and Davante Adams. Big, big names. The upcoming schedule for the Raiders, favorable against the Giants, unfavorable against the Jets, and then they are at Miami. The average winning bid last week for Myers was $83. For Davante Adams, $202. Where are you slotting in on Myers and Adams coming off really pretty brutal passing performance from Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, as you said, teammates, and we should say we're recording, as of right now, we're recording right up against the trade deadline, but I don't think Adams is going to get moved. So they're probably going to be teammates for the remainder of the season. But yeah, as you said, Jimmy G looked awful on Monday night against Detroit. Davante Adams easily could have had nearly 200 yards and he got free for what could have been a 98-yard touchdown and like a 60-plus-yard touchdown. His ability to get open is amazing at his age still. It is in his early 30s. Sadly, he's going to have to ride out the rest of the season in Las Vegas with Jimmy G, Aiden O'Connell, maybe Brian Hoyer. Just the descent from Aaron Rodgers, to Derek Carr to what he's dealing with now it's depressing to say the least. So it's all about the quarterback situation in Las Vegas. I still like both. I like Adams more than Myers, but I'm only at 80 on Adams and 40 on Myers just because the quarterback situation is so bad. And their bye week is pretty far out still. It's week 13, which you got to like, but still,
yeah.
Jimmy G just, he's not cutting it. And we don't know if O'Connell, we know Hoyer can't get it done. So unfortunately, it's all about the quarterback there. That's why I'm so low, but I'm still super high on Adams as a player.
Give me the dollar amounts. What are you putting on Myers? What are you putting on Adams?
82 on Adams, 41 on Myers.
Okay. Again, you're a lot stronger than I am. I've got some hesitation here. Myers has actually outscored Adams in totality on the season, which is shocking. I am at $45 and $55, and that's all I could get myself to spend.
But Adams and air yard leagues really went off last week.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right.
Unrealized air yards. He was around like 300. It was an amazing performance.
The eighth most chopped player last week, Kansas City running back Isaiah Pacheco. It looked like a smash spot. We'll say that for all the Chiefs against Denver. Instead, he comes up short here. My upcoming schedules, we've already alluded to, Miami, then bye, then Philadelphia, which is especially salient for Pacheco because Philadelphia is a great run defense. They're a yielding pass defense, but a great run defense. The average winning bid last week was 195 for Isaiah Pacheco, who has been to this point a pretty safe and solid guillotine contributor. What do you think about Pacheco here, Brian?
Yeah, somewhat in a lull right now. His yards per carry starting in week 5 have been 3.4, 3.9, 2.5. He did have 5 yards per carry last week at Denver, but just 8 carries for 40 yards, just 2 total touchdowns over his last 4 games. He had 2 touchdowns in his first 4, so he's kind of cooled off, but there's really no competition for touches in that Kansas City backfield. Jerick McKinnon, I thought, would be somewhat of a factor.
Yeah.
This season, but he's been invisible. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, of course, gone. Doing nothing.
Yeah.
But again, the Germany game, you don't know what to expect. A neutral matchup against Miami, but then the bye, and then at Philly, like you also said, a very tough matchup. 190 last week, coming nowhere near that. I'm high 50s. I'll go $57 on Pacheco.
I've got Pacheco in a bunch of leagues, and he's been so good to me. And maybe I'm letting that taint my viewpoint here, but I'm a lot higher. I'm 125 on Isaiah Pacheco. I really feel like especially when you add in these 3 receptions he's getting a game for like 35 yards, that, those 6 points are really valuable, and it really changes his delta quite a bit. I'll start him against Miami. I'll rest him in the bye week. Probably have to start him against Philadelphia. Keep my fingers crossed. He's a guy I want on my team for the rest of the year, so I'm willing to spend on Pacheco. The 7th most, and we don't have to spend a lot of time on this guy, the 7th most chopped player is the Giants tight end Darren Waller. He'd been playing through a hamstring injury and then just succumbed to it early, and he ended up getting knocked out of the game early in the game, and then it was all over for a lot of his owners. And 3 straight road games coming up at Las Vegas, at Dallas, at Washington. The Vegas and Washington games are very positive. The Dallas game, obviously, is a lot harder. The average winning bid last week for Darren Waller was $67, but he was coming off of a couple of really good games with high usage. Now he's hurt. I'm bidding 0. I'm out. What are you bidding on Waller?
Yeah, hamstring again.
I don't want a hamstring guy.
Tyrod Taylor, they had a nice connection. Taylor ended up going to the hospital last week, so who knows how long he's out. Mm-hmm. Sounds like Daniel Jones will make his return, but I don't know. Too many tight ends have bubbled up beyond Waller in terms of where Waller was getting drafted. Guys like Sam Laporta. Who would you say has the most tight end one games this season? Tight end Hockenson. One game being a top 12 tight end.
Well, Hockenson like probably. Well, I think Hockenson's all of them, I think, might be in for Hockenson, except maybe one.
Number one.
Is it Laporta?
Evan Engram with Engram. Seven.
Wow, okay.
And then right below is like Kelsey, and then I think Hockenson, Andrews, and like Laporta. And then there's only a couple others inside the top with five tight end one games. Mm-hmm. And Waller is not one of them. So, yeah, he unfortunately did not stick near that top tier he was getting drafted in August. So I'm at 20 bucks on Waller, and that feels a little rich, to be honest with you. But that's what I'll bid on if I'm trying to load up on some tight ends and hit in a few weeks while I'm streaming them.
All right, let's go to another tight end. We told you this was coming, Travis Kelce, who's actually shown up in this list at least two, if not three times now, Brian, which is pretty shocking. You know, he obviously came after week one. He was in our list and 'cause he missed that game. And so, yeah, this is, I think this is the third time we've seen Travis Kelce here. Again, Miami bye week, Philadelphia, average winning bid last week, $423, which is a lot of money at this stage of the season. What are you doing for Travis Kelce here?
I would have to look it up, but yeah, he's been on this list following games that Taylor Swift has not attended. And they weren't dating week one, but it doesn't matter. That still counts towards this metric. But mm-hmm. yeah, Taylor Swift missed last week at Denver. Six catches for 58 yards, though, for Kelce. Not awful, but for a guy of his caliber, you're going to need more from him. But never has played well, or not. I won't say he hasn't played well against the Broncos, but over his last 10 games against Denver, how many touchdowns would you guess Travis Kelce?
They've won all of them until now. I would have guessed he was a touchdown a game.
We don't care about that in fantasy football, right?
Yeah. I would have guessed 10 in 10 games.
Two.
Wow.
Two touchdowns over his last 10 games against the Broncos, which is kind of shocking. But again, he's head and shoulders above everyone else at the position. Mark Andrews is sort of sniffing his jock, but he's still – Kelce's still in the tier of his own. The 400-plus, that's a little rich for me right now, but I'm going more aggressive than anyone else on this list. I'm at 260 on Travis Kelce.
225 on Kelce. And if it weren't for the bye week, then I'd be pressing closer to 300.
Yeah. If that was like happened to be in the rearview mirror. Yeah. 350.
Yeah. Because there's a chance, you know, there's a real chance now with just the handful of teams left in your league that Kelsey's going to get knocked out in his bye week again. And you're going to have another shot at Kelce in 2 weeks. All right, let's move to the number five most chopped player, Dallas running back Tony Pollard. No touchdowns since opening week. I think his disappointing season has been way, way under-discussed in the fantasy community. The upcoming schedule is at Philadelphia. That is a very tough matchup. Giants easy, at Carolina easy. Average winning bid last week for Tony Pollard, $252. What are you bidding here?
Yeah, he's been a huge disappointment. Pollard was finally supposed to be the bell cow, and he's essentially seen that usage, but he's done a lot more in previous seasons when he was sharing time with Ezekiel Elliott. He has gone 121 consecutive touches without a touchdown this year. That's the longest current streak in the NFL.
Wow.
You would have to think positive regression is coming, though. I mean, imagine if you weren't watching the Cowboys game at all last week against the Rams, and you see that they won 43-20, and you're like, "Oh, sweet, Pollard must have had a huge game." Nope, like 50 something scoreless combo yards on like two catches, but he's still the lead back on a somewhat explosive offense. I'm not gonna break the bank for him, of course, but I'm at $105, and that's a bid I'm hoping to win. Really, I think that's still a great bargain. I think we could see a big second half from Pollard. I mean, he's healthy. That's like almost all you can ask for from a running back right now.
Yeah, it's a workhorse back.
And his bye is in the rear view, and he's the starter still. So,
a workhorse back.
I'm actually bumping it up to 125. I'm talking myself into it. 125.
A workhorse back on a good offense that you can get at an unusually low price, and he's healthy. So, yeah, I feel like I got to go in here. I had 145, so right in the same ballpark that you were at for Tony Pollard. We already talked about Cooper Kupp. He came slotted in as the fourth most chop player. The third most chop player, Baltimore quarterback Lamar Jackson. The Ravens have been looking really, really good, and actually Jackson has two. It's just Gus Edwards got all the touchdowns last week, and you know Lamar didn't end up having the statistical game that really represented how well he played. The upcoming schedule is three home games, but against three pretty good defenses, Seattle, Cleveland, Cincinnati. Still has his bye week left looming, by the way. He's like, I don't know, like week 12 or something. The average winning bid last week was 196 on Lamar Jackson. What are you doing here?
Bye week 13, just to clarify. No buys in week 12, which is weird. And there were no buys in week 8. But we had six bye weeks in week 7, and we'll have six more in week 13. That's bye apocalypse part 2.
Yeah.
Bizarre. But anyway, Jackson and the Ravens are lumped into that week 13 bye. As you said, tough schedule moving forward. Yeah, he hasn't been posting the huge fantasy numbers that we were hoping for behind a pass-friendly offensive coordinator, Todd. Don't call me Art Monken, but I don't know. He's still a mobile quarterback, and those are the guys we pay up for. And I'm going to pay up for him more than the player we'll be talking about next, which you weren't drafting Lamar Jackson over that player. But because he can run – and we have four more games before his bye, I'm going $81 on Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I had 65. So you and I were in the same kind of ballpark. He is the kind of runner, kind of quarterback that I will push some chips in on. Otherwise, I do not. There's only like four quarterbacks that I'll put more than like $10 on, and Lamar Jackson is one of them. I like the way this Baltimore offense is starting to round into form. Looks good right now. The number two most chop player was Devontae Adams. Already discussed him. Let's go to our number one most chop player, Kansas City quarterback Patrick Mahomes. So we've already discussed the schedule ad nauseum. You know everything you need to know about Patrick Mahomes. The average winning bid on Patrick Mahomes, I'm not coming near that. I'll tell you that right now. Where are you sitting?
Yeah, I'm coming in more than $200 under that. So I'm at like $65. And you know what? That almost seems like too much. Mahomes is mobile, but he's known more for his arm. But again, he's been struggling to post big numbers. It's basically Travis Kelce, and that's it. He's got no one else to throw to. Could you imagine a guy like Tyreek Hill on the Kansas City Chiefs? What would be happening right now?
Guy just like that. It's hard to imagine what that offense could be like with Tyreek Hill in it.
Yeah, and another universe, we would be witnessing those video game type numbers. But again, we've beaten this dead horse. Neutral matchup, and then the bye next week. So he doesn't run as much as Lamar Jackson. So I'm coming in $15 less. I was at like 81 on Lamar, but I'm gonna 66 on Mahomes. And again, that feels a little too rich, but he still could be a league winner if he survived past the bye week and everything clicks for him.
I'm at $50. Rashee Rice, let me mention, cut in a lot of leagues as well. He was something like the 30th most chop player, 40th, something like that. Trending the right direction. There's still a lot to like here. And if he got chopped, I think Rashee Rice is, as a side note, probably worth 20-ish bucks. And that's somebody that you might want to target. Let's
the only wide receiver worth talking about on Kansas City.
Yeah, for Rashee sure. Rice. Everybody else for is sure. an afterthought. Okay, let's go to the what we do at the end of every show. I want to give you $2 guys I think you can get for $2 or so. But it costs your roster spot. And as I mentioned the last few weeks, our roster spots are starting to get a lot more valuable now. You know, we're at a stage of the season where our 14th guy doesn't suck anymore. Now he's okay. So factor that into your decision making on each one of these, Brian. $2 for Will Levis and a roster spot. Yes or no?
Yeah, I mean, four touchdowns in the debut, and he's got rushing upside that we have yet to see, but we'll see it at some point. So, yeah, $2 for sure on Levis.
Yeah, I'm a lot more hesitant than you are, but and I don't even usually roster two quarterbacks yet, so I'm gonna go no on Levis. Leo Fournette, your new Buffalo Bills backup running back, $2 in a roster spot.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, no one. When I say no one, James Cook, Latavius Murray, I don't know what's going on with Damian Harris. He's on IR. No one's stepping up. So Fournette has just as good a shot as any of those guys to take over that backfield. And no one has been able to do so. So why not? It could be Fournette could be the guy to lead Buffalo in running back touches as early as this week?
I'm on Noah Fournette. Totally cooked. Nothing left.
You hate him, but come on. $2? Just
yeah, but I got to cut somebody else. I'm cutting like DeMercado or somebody who, you know, I like. I'm not there. Jahan Dotson, after doing basically nothing for 7 weeks, explodes against the Eagles. Are you going back in for $2 on Jahan Dotson, who finished last year? Second half of last year was good.
Yeah, he was like a top 10 wide receiver in the second half of last year as a rookie. So we'll see if we can catch lightning on bottle twice. And if something were to happen to Terry McLaurin, and, you know, Curtis Samuel still feels like a gimmicky type receiver, right? He's not like a true wide receiver too. So Dotson could have a strong second half, and the Commander is always throwing. So it's nice to have a piece of that game, pass game, for a buck or two.
Next is DeMario Douglas. Kendrick Bourne is now on IR, and his season is likely over. I think it was ACL, so his season is over. DeMario Douglas do anything for you? Is one of the guys likely to step into that spot?
I don't know. No, you can't trust him. I know Kayshon Boutte is still around. Tyquan Thornton, who came on strong at the end of last year as a rookie, he's in his second year, started this year on IR. He's still in the mix. Devontae Parker is somewhat held. No, I'm saving that dollar for a rainy day rather than spending it on a Patriots wide receiver. I don't care who it is.
Next, Khalil Shakir. Really interesting that he took off for Buffalo right when Dawson Knox came out and they stopped using two tight end formations, and they put Shakir standing up in the slot a lot more often, and he immediately goes off for a big game last Thursday. What do you think about Khalil Shakir for $2?
Yeah, Shakir barely been used up until last week, and I was pleasantly surprised as a huge Shakir investor in the offseason. And if that usage keeps up, and if something were to happen to Stephon Diggs and or Gabe Davis, and or even Dalton Kincaid, really, I think Shakir can see an added two or three targets a game. So we're looking at like a 6 to 7 target guy as a floor. And if something were to happen to one of the top three pass catchers, we're talking 9-10 targets. So for a buck or two, I'll invest in that right now, definitely.
All right, Quentin Johnston. Signs of life after doing basically nothing all year. We thought he'd get a lot more usage with Mike Williams out. Hadn't manifested till a little bit more last week. $2 in a roster spot. Yes, no.
Yeah, why not? And it looked like Josh Palmer suffered a serious knee injury at one point. He came back in, but yep. So hopefully he stays healthy. But if something were to happen to him or Keenan Allen, and don't want to wish it on Keenan Allen, but we've seen it in the past, but hopefully he stays healthy. But yeah, Johnson for a buck, that's a good deal.
With the Vikings now having Josh Dobbs as a either starter or backup quarterback, does KJ Osborne do anything for you? We got a little more signs of life out of him last week.
I suppose for a buck, but Justin Jefferson hopefully back in a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. The Vikings don't have a bye until week 13, so that you will get 4 games out of Osborne, but maybe only 2 without Jefferson. Right. But as of right now, we don't know what to expect from the Vikings. I mean, Dobbs will be a serviceable starter, but it might take him a couple weeks to get to that point. So,
all right.
Long story short, I'm out on Osborne,
okay.
Actually.
Alexander Mattison may have been chopped in your league after a series of disappointments and then getting very little usage last week. Now this offense takes a big step back without Kirk Cousins. If he's available, is he a $2 guy?
No, I mean, right now it's Jefferson, Addison, and Hockenson, right? I don't really, and if I'm forced to roster a running back for the Vikings, it's Akers now, who has usurped Madison. Madison has a shot. He blew it. Maybe not all his fault, but I'm not bidding on him.
I think Madison might still be the starter, but they basically alternated series last game. Akers looks a little better. Madison just almost feels like a sabotage drop at this point. Speaking of running backs I don't love, Royce dropped the piano. Freeman got more work and basically even snap count with Darrell Henderson for the Rams last week. What are your thoughts on him? Is he $2?
I know Kyron Williams will miss 2 more games. There's a bye mixed in there.
Yep.
So in the next 3 weeks, you got 2 games where he's essentially splitting time with Darrell Henderson. But who knows? Maybe they try to ramp up Zach Evans a little more. I guess for a buck, I'll throw a buck at Drop the Piano Freeman, but don't hold out hopes for, you know, long-term production from him. He's a rental player. Hopefully he gives you something in the next week or two, or the next start or two. I believe their bye is in week 10.
All right. I've only got a couple more names for you. Actually, just one more name. Roschon Johnson had basically even workload with Deonta Foreman. Yeah. Last week, and great to see him back after the concussion knocked him out, I think, three games, and he immediately went back to being near the top of the list here for the Bears. What do you think about him for $2?
Yeah, definitely interested. The Tyson Bajent story was fun for a minute, but the Bears need Fields back to, you know, keep defenses a little more honest, and I still think would like to think Roschon can emerge as Chicago's lead back, even though we haven't really seen, you know, true regular season competition with Roschon. Khalil Herbert, who I think is back or can return in the next two or three weeks at most. And then Deonta Foreman too, who is a good running back, but I think in a lost season, the Bears are going to really want to see what they have in Roschon Johnson. We've seen what Herbert and what Foreman can do in this league. We really haven't given Johnson that, you know, the lion's share of the Bears' touches, and I think he'll see those towards the end of the year. So long story short, yeah, bidding $2 or $3 on Roschon.
All right, I think that wraps up this episode of CHOP, the Guillotine League podcast. A lot to get to, rare opportunity to get Chiefs on your roster if you want them. But, of course, again, it is complicated. Thanks for listening. We encourage you to join a new league, guillotineleagues.com. It's never too late. You know how much fun it is if you're listening to this podcast. You made it to the end of it. You love Guillotine Leagues, and it's always good to be in another league because being out of all of them is no fun. Thanks, Brian. We'll talk to you all in 1 week's time. Bye, everybody.